Chapter 1. 7 days to Armistice Night. A bomb has gone off in my family. The women hustling around the kitchen don't know why it went off or who dropped it. But we all have to get this wedding off in 2 days instead of 3 months. Thank God it's not mine. I'm already 21 and Papa hasn't arranged anyone, which means I may get to pick whoever I want. I throw up a quick horn gesture to ward off any bad results my gratitude attracts.
It's not fair,
Liliana sobs, pushing a balled-up tissue against her nose.
Why do I not get to decide anything?
She's never complained about being told to marry Paolo Alessi. That choice was taken away very early. As the oldest, she was always going to have to marry whoever Papa said. So the rest of the decisions down the line have taken on greater significance. Better sooner than later, no? Her future mother-in-law, Assunta, hands her a fresh tissue. We're in Assunta's kitchen with a cross-section of aunts, cousins, mothers, and friends. Liliana nods and balls up the new tissue. We'd been carefully planning her wedding, up until tonight, when we were all called across the Spanish Quarter to make it happen in 48 hours. The women weren't told why. Something about letters and summons. Follow-up questions were waved away.
I just want it to be nice. Now here we are making sure we have enough sugar to make our own pastries.
It'll be nice, I assure her. We've done this a million times. Now we just have to do it faster.
On a Tuesday?
Her face crumbles again.
No one gets married on Tuesdays. It's bad luck.
Assunta tisks, but I'm not sure if it's because she thinks Liliana's being unreasonable or because she agrees on the hierarchy of the days of the week. God made Tuesdays the same as any other day. Aunt Lena leans over the counter to continue a list in her spiral notebook. Normally, the bride's mother would be making the lists, but ours didn't survive giving birth to me, so we were raised by her 5 sisters. Lena is the most practical, and right now, I appreciate that. Let's not waste time with superstitious nonsense. Your Uncle Fosco can get us the big room in the club for the reception.
Oh, God, Liliana says. That club is a dump. We were going to have it at the Stigliano.
Enough, Aunt Greca barks. She was always the disciplinarian, and had to be with 7 children of her own. You're being a child. Liliana bolts out of the kitchen in tears. Aunt Greca shakes her head and goes back to counting sacks of flour. They're all too busy with the wedding to care for the bride's heart, so I grab the box of tissues and follow her outside. Our city was built in the 16th century and is as dense as lard bread, with unexpected pockets of open air between buildings and mansions, like ours, tucked behind iron doors. Paolo's family owns a shipping route, Papa says is important, but it isn't much. The Alessis are not as rich as us. Not as poor as most, so their house does not have its own courtyard, but a shared outdoor space paved in stone. I find Liliana there, crouched on one of 2 metal chairs under the single tree growing from a patch of soil. I put the box of tissues in her lap.
Aunt Greca is such a bitch, she says,
cradling the box and bowing her head so her light brown hair covers her face. She's overwhelmed too. I sit in the other chair. And she was married when she was 15, so yeah. I can't imagine how awful it would feel to be trapped so young before seeing any of the world.
Ugh,
she snaps out a fresh tissue.
I'm not ready and I'm 23. Did they tell you, Delphi? About the sex? What it is? What actually happens?
I get the idea, I shrug. It was always described as one of the many things a wife has to cope with in exchange for, well, I don't really know what.
I'm so scared. How can it not hurt?
Aurelia says it's nice.
Well, she's a putain.
She blows her nose.
And I mean that in the nicest way. Good for her.
Sitting back in the chair, I let the quarter wash over me. The smells of food and garbage, the multiple arguments and discussions, the human and canned television laughter, mopeds crisscrossing the city, traffic on Via Medina a kilometer away, a car stereo. If I listen closely enough, crickets, and the breeze flicking the leaves of this one lonely tree. Humanity crushes the senses while the stars are silent. Is he still taking you on his boat for the honeymoon? I ask. Not until after Armistice Night. Armistice Night is an annual event celebrating peace between the colonies. It's a big deal. I've always wanted to go, but it's for families of the system. And Papa's been clear that though he pays into the system and remains friendly with Cosimo Orolio, he and his children are outside of it. Imagine how quiet it is on the ocean. She blows her nose while I look through the archway of old stone to the dots of stars, trying to imagine a world with only the sound of water splashing thickly on a boat's hull.
Delfina, Aunt Sylvia calls from above.
Yes?
I need you to go home and put Enzo and Emilia to bed.
Sighing, I straighten. Okay. I love my little cousins, but they're the exact opposite of the roaring silence of the sea.
Your father will get Aris to walk you over.
She disappears without waiting for a response. It's going to be all right, Lily. I throw my arms around my sister. It's going to be amazing.
For you.
She holds me tightly, then separates.
Because you're amazing.
No, you are.
No, you. And go, before Emilia gets her second wind.
I run upstairs to meet Aris so he can rush me home. As the capo of the system in all of Naples, Cosimo Orolio sits at the head of the dining room table with wide-set brown eyes and a slab of hair combed over his bald head. He is the oldest of the older men, the fathers and uncles, some in the system and some, like Papa, who are outside of it, sit around the table, while the brothers and sons stand at the edges, against the walls. There is background murmuring, but most of the room is focused on Cosimo, who speaks plainly to Papa.
Under your house, starting in the morning. My daughter is getting married. The disruption, that's our deal, Gentile.
They fall into silence when I enter. There's a dead weight in the room, and I'm not the cause. Papa seems distracted when I ask for an escort. Not just distracted, but troubled.
Aris, Papa says to my brother, take your sister home. This is too important, he protests,
as he always does.
I know it's not fair, but the kids can wait.
When he escorts me, he walks too fast and I get home breathless and blistered.
I got it,
a man says. I've never seen him before, and I've seen everyone in the quarter. He's the only one my age sitting at the table.
There's nothing else I got to tell you now anyway.
He stands and bows to Cosimo, who offers his ring to kiss. Gross.
You know the way?
Cosimo asks, taking the decision out of my father's hands. Even Papa has to choose his battles with the capo.
I don't want her to end up at your house in Velletri. I grew up near the Galleria. I got it.
The pretensions of his northern accent are clear when he mentions the old neighborhood.
Go, Rofi. Come back quickly. And Delfina?
Yes?
I have a niece coming from America. Her name is Luna. You will welcome her.
Yes, sir. He waves me away. Rofi is already out the door. I hope he doesn't walk as fast as my brother.